his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So Joseph had a God-given dream. This was a dream that God had, obviously God had given him, that God revealed to him. And then we go over, and if you'll, you can hold your place there in Genesis 37. And Genesis 37, and look at, we're in Genesis 37, Genesis 45. Hold your place in Genesis 37, and we're going to look at Genesis 45. Genesis 45. And verse number 13. And the Bible says here, And ye shall tell my father and all my glory. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And so here we have the fulfillment of that dream. This was a dream that was given to Joseph when he was 17. And here, when he first stands before Pharaoh, now he's no longer 17. Now when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. And so 13 years had transpired, and by the time his father came there, maybe a little bit more. But we see that this dream didn't happen immediately. And what I want to talk to you about this evening is the title entitled, A Glimpse of the Glory. A Glimpse of the Glory. And we'll pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. And Lord, if I get up here in my own power and strength, Lord, nobody's going to be helped. Nobody's going to be edified, Lord. But Lord, through the power of your Spirit, Lord, with your anointing, God, in your word being proclaimed, God, you can minister to hearts. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you the best we know how, and we ask that you would have full control. I ask, Lord, for thine anointing, and, God, I pray that you would please just meet with us. Lord, give us exactly what we need for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. A glimpse of the glory. He said, go down in chapter 45. He said, go get my father and bring him here. Tell him of the glory. Tell him of all the splendor. Tell him of all the good things that you've seen. But here in Genesis, going back to Genesis chapter 37, God had given Joseph a dream. It was a taste of what the future held for him. It was a glimpse of the glory. The last time, NC State, yeah, I have the mic. And the last time NC State went to won an ACC championship, I wasn't even born. The last time they went to a Final Four, I was not born. So this has been, you know, kind of exciting. And I remember, and then RJ, he's on the trip now, but he texted me. He was at the ACC tournament, and he said, NC State just beat Duke. And I literally, this is terrible, and I'm an NC State fan, but I text him. I'm sure he still has a text message. I said, it was a fluke. showing my faith in my team. But I texted back. But so it's been kind of fascinating, you know, just seeing them. You know, they had to win five games in 5 days, and then they've continued to win. And they started out like as 1,000-1, and then 100-1, and now against Purdue it's 20-1. I don't know if they'll end up beating Purdue or not, but you know, it's been a fun run regardless. But one thing that's kind of neat about it is they get a lot of press coverage. And, you know, the media always does, different things to bring more, you know, get more views and have more. Miss Martinez, how are you? And so to get more views and so forth. And so you distracted me, Miss Martinez. where's Brother Rickner? Me and Brother Nathan Rickner, we preached in on the night bus together in college, and Brother Daniel Gonzalez, he did a great job preaching at the school on Monday. Squirrel. But talking about living the dream and preaching and so forth. But God had given Joseph a dream. It was a taste of what the future held for him. NC State, here, back to my thought. So they were having a press conference, and one of the guys was, his name is O'Connell, last name is O'Connell. And they asked in the press conference, now that they're going to the Final Four, and they asked this question. They said, if you could go back to when you were, and tell your 10-year-old self one thing, what would you tell him? I was like, that's kind of a, you know, nifty thought or question. And if you could go back and tell your 10-year-old self, and he said this. He actually had a pretty good statement. He said, I would tell him to stay committed to the process. Stay committed to the process. He says, because there are times, you know, you want to go and you want to hang out, you know, with your buddies and you just want to kind of take it easy. He said, but you need to be in the weight room. You need to be practicing. You need to be, you know, working at it. Stay committed to the process. Now, I don't know what NC State will do in the tournament. I don't know if they'll, advance to the championship game and get demolished by UConn. I have no idea. But the fact is, that's a temporal dream. But he had a dream. And so it is a temporal one. But God gave Joseph an eternal one. And this dream, undoubtedly, that O'Connell had is temporal, and the NC State, you know, and the truth is, in a couple years, it's going to be a faded memory. And not a whole lot of people will even remember, you know, what happened, and that it is only thing is like YouTube and, you know, looking at replays and so forth. But it'll be a faded memory at best. But a dream that is eternal will have infinitely lasting consequences. And here we have the story of Joseph. We have the introduction of Joseph, and he dreamed a dream in chapter 37. And in the middle of chapter 37, things weren't looking so good. You get to chapter 39, and all hope seems to be lost. You get to chapter 41, and then things turn around. Then you get over to chapter 42, and Joseph's dream starts to come to fruition. And in Genesis 42, verse 9, the Bible says that Joseph remembered the dream that he had dreamed. God gave Joseph a picture of the victory that would carry him through the valleys of discouragement. It was a glimpse of the glory. Recently, we were in staff meeting and talking about, just debriefing and so forth. And I was so excited because somebody had recently given a testimony. And I made this statement to staff meeting. I said, I'm so glad. And there was somebody I was super glad that a couple of people were in the service. And I said, they got to hear that testimony because they got a glimpse of the glory of what life. I remember feeling that way. I remember when I was a little kid and going to camp and spending all week at camp, you know, with preacher. And then, you know, as a teenager, spending camp with preacher, with Brother Hamilton. And you know what God was giving me? He was giving me a glimpse of the glory. And now my life is so blessed, and I have a Christian home. My kids, they won't grow up with certain things in the house and certain things on the screen and certain things on the radio. But I caught that as a young person. Joseph was 17 when God gave him his dream. God gave Joseph a picture of the victory that would carry him through the valleys of discouragement. But you and I are going to have to go through the fire for your purification. You know, David, God did the same thing for David. Samuel, the prophet, goes and he anoints David's head with oil, and he anoints him and said, you are going to be the next king of Israel. But it was a long time before David was anointed to when the golden crown was placed upon his head, but God had given him a dream. And there was going to be times where he was going to be running for his life. There was going to be times where he was sleeping in a cave. There was going to be times that he was in the wilderness and he was going to be on one side of the mountain and Saul's coming around the other. But all that was the fire. But that was all part of God's plan. And David might not have seen it right there and said, but God, and I'm sure he had times where he even had doubt and said, God, I thought you said that this was going to happen. And God, it doesn't look like this. God, I'm so far removed from the palace. I'm nowhere near where what my dream, what I saw in my dream. God, what's going on? And perhaps Joseph, as he's lowered into that pit and his brothers are kicking dirt on him and saying, hey, we're going to kill you. And then Reuben saves his life and he ends up getting sold into slavery as he's in the pit. Now he goes down and now he's in Potiphar's house. And I'm sure there were times in his head when he thought, God, what's going on? I thought you said this is what was going to happen. I thought you said this. I thought you revealed a dream to me. But you're going to have to go through the fire for purification. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were thrown in, they were mocked. They were laughed at. They were demoted as they were thrown into the fire. But they went through the fire, as did Joseph, and as did David, and as did every Christian who's greatly used of God. There's going to be a time where you get saved. Boy, it's exciting. You start making decisions. And man, God's happy for you. God's people are happy for you. But there are some people who are not going to be happy for you. There are some people who are going to oppose you. There are some people who are going to turn the furnace up. And as the king did, say, hey, light that thing 7 times hotter and get that thing burning. But they went through the fire. But the fire had a purpose. So did the pit. So did the prison. So did the cave. And so did the wilderness for David. So does that fire in your life. So does that fire in my life. It has a purpose. But when they came out, they were respected. They were promoted, having brought honor and glory to their God. God also did this for David. And I just want to give you three thoughts this evening that I've gleaned from Joseph's glimpse of the glory. Joseph's glimpse of the glory. Number one, buy into the vision. Buy into the vision. A coach at the beginning of the season may say, hey, something like this. Hey, we're going to win a conference championship. Boy, he's getting his players inspired. And he said, we're going to do it. And he's breathing life. He's giving inspiration to his players. And they buy in. They say, yeah, coach, we're going to do it. But you know, God is our coach in life. And you know, if you ask God, God will give you a vision for your life, and God will give me a vision for mine. If you do the known will of God, hey, you know the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what the word vision in that passage of Scripture is referring to? It's referring to the Word of God. And you know this, when we line our life up with the Word of God, when we do the known will of God, you know what God will begin to do? He'll begin to shed light on the unknown will of God. There are certain things that are black and white, and God says, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do that. But there are some things that are not clearly written, but God, through His Holy Spirit, wants to guide us, but God wants to watch and see what we do with what we know. And God wants to know, are we going to obey what He's already told us to do? But ask God and He'll give you a vision. The Word of God is the vision. It can be trusted. Thy Word is truth. As we read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God, God will give us a vision. He'll give you the vision that He has for you. He'll give me the vision that He has for me. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God is going to give you, God has something special, unique for your life. God has something planned just for you. You were created by God and for a specific reason, for a specific person, for a specific purpose. And buy into the vision, buy into the vision. Number two, commit to the process. Commit to the process. That vision was not fulfilled immediately. There were 13 years between the time Joseph was 17 and by the time he stands before Pharaoh. It was a process. And you know, in math, you know, we don't go in and we should in kindergarten start teaching them geometry. That way that by second grade they can, go to calculus. But it doesn't, you know, in life it's not that way. You just don't send your child off and they come home, you know, from kindergarten and they can already write and they're writing, doctrinal theses. No, it doesn't. You start out in kindergarten in math. We'll just use this. You go and you start to learn the numbers. Or maybe even before kindergarten. All right, 1, 2, 3, five, seven, Cole. And that's the way he counts. And so, but we're learning. And so then you get to kindergarten, you start learning the numbers. And then, you go to first, second grade. Now you're learning how to add, how to subtract. You start learning how to multiply, divide. Then you get a little older, you start learning long division. Then you learn, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Anybody remember that? And so you got to do it in order or everything gets thrown out. You got to then pre-algebra, and then there's algebra, and then there's geometry, and then there's pre-cal, and then there's calculus, and then there's rocket science. And it keeps going. But the fact is, it's line upon line. It's here a little, there a little. And God, from the time God gives us the dream, there is a process. He's still working on me. There's a process. There's things that God wants to do. There are some things that God had to purge out of Joseph's life. There were some things that God had to teach Joseph along the way. If God would have just taken Joseph when he was 17, being his daddy's favorite, being pretty much always getting his way, getting his nice coat, getting the things he wanted, anything he wanted to get out whenever he wanted. And if God would have put him from being 17 with that mindset and put him in the palace, how do you think that would have fared for Joseph? He couldn't have handled it. I couldn't have handled it. We couldn't have handled it. But God knew what Joseph needed, and God knows what you need. And God knows what I need. God knows that... I remember my freshman year was embarrassing. I was so homesick. It was embarrassing. You know what God was doing? God was purging me. And God was showing me I wasn't even though I was the all-star in my 120 population Christian school, I wasn't an all-star in life. And you can be a big fish in a small pond, but God said it's not just a small pond everywhere. And Joseph, this isn't all about you, and it never has been, it never was. It's all about bringing honor and glory to God. And God says, Joseph, I'm gonna teach you some things, and there's a process. It also requires a commitment to the process, Luke chapter 14. And verses, you don't have to turn there, I'll read these verses to you. Luke 14, 25 through 30, it says, if a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62 said, and Jesus saith unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what God is teaching us? Commitment. Commitment. My wife and I got married. We said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. She didn't know it was going to be poor more often than not. But for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, and sickness as in health and poverty as well. Hey, we committed ourselves to one another. And does God not deserve that from us? Does God, the one who, I was preaching to the little ones on, they did such a great job. We had 97 in the children's department. And I told Miss Bessel over and over, I said, man, to have this many kids, you can tell that there have been a lot of God's people praying. So thank you, church family, for praying, because they did such a good job listening. I ended up preaching 40 minutes to four-year-old through second grade. Yeah, and they were like glued in. I was like, awesome. I'm going to do that tonight. Anyway, I hasten. And but I was preaching. But think about what Christ suffered just in the garden alone in Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the oil press. And you think about just those. And that was symbolic. Christ, here he is, and he prayed. And imagine the pressure that he had. I mean, sometimes we feel like, man, I got the pressure at work or the pressure, from my wife's honey-do list and the pressure we feel and all that pressure. But can you imagine the pressure, the weight of the whole world on your shoulder? And that was Jesus Christ. And here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed as it were. and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he was so pressed that even when he sweat, it was blood coming out. And so, but Christ was under all that pressure. Does he not deserve our commitment? Does he not deserve our all? Does he not? Is he not the one that created us? Is he not the one that loved us? Is he not the one that saved us? Is he not the one that has our best interest in mind? Is he not the one who knows the beginning from the end? And certainly we can say, God, my life is yours, and God, I'm committed to the process. Whatever you say, wherever you lead. And yes, times are going to be tough perhaps at times, but I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit on you. I'm not going to leave you. Come hell or high water, sink or swim, live fat or die skinny. I'm all in for you, God. I'm committed. And we can't get caught in this trap of thinking, well, my way is better than God's way, or God doesn't understand where I'm at. Saul did this. Saul, in his own mind, God had given Saul a dream. God said, Saul, you are going to be the king over my people. And what did Saul do? He got a big head and said, I'm going to do it my way. God said, no, you're not. And he never fulfilled the dream. Jeroboam, the same thing. After Rehoboam comes in, splits the kingdom, God sends a prophet to Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, God says, look, if you'll follow me, if you'll obey my commandments, if you'll commit yourself to me, then the kingdom's going to be established in your hand. Jeroboam, I'm going to use you. What did Jeroboam do? He leads the children off. They worship the false god. He said, look, these be the gods that led you out of Egypt. And he had them in idol worship almost immediately. And what happened? He wasn't committed. He wasn't committed to God's way. And may I remind us all, church family, that God's way is still the best way. And God's way is still the right way. It's still the only way for me and for us as God's children. But the scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Don't bail out. Hey, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yes, I'm sure there were times that Joseph felt like fainting. And yes, I'm sure there were times that David felt like throwing in the towel. And yes, I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they started second guessing. But it's not time for us to bail out. It's not time for us to give up. And it's not time for us to throw in the towel. But we've got to glean our strength from the one with everlasting strength and go through the process. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what we've got to do every single day? Got to suit up for battle every day. You know what you have and I have every single day of our life? We have this old flesh. We have the world, the flesh, the devil fighting against us. You know what we've got to do? Get up. Put our helmet on, get our mind right, all right? Things we should think on, things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. Think on these things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Mine eye affecteth my heart. The things we look at, the things we listen to. We've got to guard this. We've got to guard our minds. We've got to guard our hearts, our loins girt about with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And we've got to suit up for battle every day, the whole armor of God. Hey, there was going to be glory, but there was also going to be suffering. And there is no crown without a cross. Teddy Roosevelt said this. He said, I won't quote it all, but he said, it's not the critic who counts. He goes on to say, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly. And he talks about, he shall not be with those timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. But the credit is not, it's not the Monday, you know, the Monday morning, what did they call it? Armchair quarterback. And who's in there with his pot belly. Oh, yeah, you should have threw that like 2 seconds earlier. No. But when you're doing the work, that's what God has for us. God wants us to be putting in the work, putting in the practice, hitting the weight room, so to speak, spiritually. And it's the time where we're on our knees and getting up early and walking with God and reading his word. We've got to suit up for battle every day. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39, and verse number 2, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and Joseph was a goodly person, and then verse number 8 says, but he refused There are some things that Joseph refused. He said, I'm not going to do this. He said, I'm going to tell my flesh no. And then he says at the end of verse number 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And you know the story. He ends up in verse number 20 in prison. Read verse number 20 with me. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. So, there he is in prison. All right? But guess what? He's right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. You know, sometimes the will of God will take you perhaps to unpleasant places. Places you never thought when you first had that dream, well, I got saved. How'd I end up here? But if you're walking with God, you're reading His Word, you're praying, you're serving God, and you end up, you're like, what? But guess who was there with him? The Lord was with him. And you know, I decided a long time ago, I'd rather be flat broke with God than be rich without Him. I'd rather be sick as a dog with God than healthy without Him. And here, so there you are. So what are we going to do? I didn't ask to be here. No. Yeah. And throw a temper tantrum? What's that going to do? Get mad? Throw things? Punch the wall? Ah! And that never works that well. Why am I here? You're going to pout, complain, be negative, naysay. So there you are. So there he was. He's in prison. What's he going to do? Let's look what he does. In Genesis 39, verse number 20, and there he was, and he was there in prison. Verse 21, read it with me. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I mean, even in jail, he's got the favor of God. I mean, this is a special young man. And yes, there are times that we say, what in the world? This is my lot? Yeah, this is your lot, Joseph. It was a fact. There was no denying it. There was no ignoring it. He can't escape. The guard's going to catch him and bring him back anyway. So, okay, here I am. God, this is where you have me. So let's make up our minds that we're not going to be negative. I'm not going to be a naysayer. I'm not going to be a complainer. I'm not going to be a pouter. I'm not going to be a whiner. I'm not going to be a person with a victim mentality. And I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm not going to quit on God. God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. And God is with you. God was with David when he was in the cave. And God was with Daniel when he was in the lion's den. And God was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego when they were in the fire. And it doesn't matter if we're in prison or if we're in the fire or if we're in the pit or wherever we are. If God is with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? And God was with him. Joseph was going, listen to this. Joseph was going to make the best of any situation he was in. Joseph was going to make the best of any situation he was in. You're broke? Okay. So was Joseph. You've been mistreated? Okay. So was Joseph. You know, we have in our society, we have a victim mentality that says, well, I've been mistreated. So was Joseph. So what? Is God not still alive? Is God still not God? And, you know, Joseph grew through the process. He learned how to manage a household through this process. Joseph learned how to run a business through this process. Joseph knew what it was to go without through this process. Joseph knew how to appreciate relationships to a far greater extent through this process. And this was the process that God was taking him through. And he was committed to the process. And we've got to say, God, at some point in life, God, you are God, and I trust you. Amen. We're not guaranteed. Anything can happen at any time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But one thing that we can rest assured is that we have a God in heaven who made us, who saved us, who loves us, and we can trust him. Amen. At some point, he even had to learn a new language. And he did it. He knew Not only that, but Joseph also knew how to say no. And there's got to be a point in our life where we say, you know what? No. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to give in to the flesh. No, I'm not going to give in to my wicked, sin-depraved flesh. No, I'm not going to look at that. And fast and pray if we need to, whatever we need to do. But I'm going to have victory. Why? Because God has given us the victory. And God has given us and this dream, the glimpse of the glory, and that's for the taking. And Joseph refused to sin against his God. He refused to compromise. He refused to get self-absorbed and to self-destruct. But you know, in our life, it's going to take us doing our part as well. God is God, but God also expected something of Joseph. God expected Joseph each morning to get up, put one britches leg at a time, and get up and get to work, and it entailed a lot of work. It will entail hardships, even times that try men's souls. But God tells us that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There are going to be times where people love you, and there's going to be times that they don't. You can be a hero one day, and the next day considered a villain. Think about Moses. I feel bad for Moses. You know, all those million Jews, and so he's up there. He's like, look, God's gonna deliver us, yay! And they're like, we love you, Moses. And then the next thing you know, they're getting beaten, and like their workload goes up, and they're like, the Lord look on you. And you know, they're like, we hate you. And so, such is leadership. And but Moses is there. You brought us out here to kill us. You know, when they finally got out, after they'd seen God do all these miracles, they go through and they say, you brought us out here to kill us. And Moses just, Lord. And he just commits himself to the Lord. But don't despair. And Brother Howell said this, if you do despair, keep working on through your time of despair. Never stop giving your best to each and every task. At home, while Joseph was at home, in Potiphar's house, in prison, in the palace, he said, no less than my best. I'm going to give it my all each and every time. Hey, Sunday school teacher, every Sunday, I'm going to give it my best. On the bus, I'm going to give it my best. In the classroom, I'm going to give it my best. At home, I'm going to give it my best. And Christianity starts at the home. And Brother Mike Ray said this, if it doesn't work at home, don't export it. But you know, we ought to be the most loving to those within the four walls of our home. We ought to be the most considerate. And so sometimes we're tempted to be, for that not to be the case, but never stop giving your best to each and every task. Never stop giving your best to each and every relationship. Make the most out of each relationship that God has given you. And don't take it for granted. This, just a moment ago, I read to the teachers, there's a title in Blue Denim and Lace, which is a book that Brother Howells wrote, and there's a chapter called Premature Nostalgia. And he talks about, you know, many times we hear a statement, something like this, I didn't know how much I loved her, or I wish I had done more while he was alive. And he said this, how sad are such statements? Instead of I wish I had done it, why not substitute something like this? I will not have to wish that I had done it. And he said, look toward the future to the day when you will lose a relationship. Picture yourself without it. Become prematurely nostalgic, and you will appreciate the relationship more in the present. This eliminates remorse. And remorse is the sting of nostalgia. And he talks about how Solomon, at the end of his life, he was a man filled with remorse. But Joseph, now he did get to see his dad again, which is awesome. He got to see his brothers, and he extended forgiveness to them. But let's not wait until we lose something before we appreciate it. Let's appreciate the relationships that God has given us, and let's plan those relationships. Let's build those relationships. And obviously, the first and foremost relationship in all of our lives is our relationship to our God. And if we're not walking with God every day, we need to stop and pause. Something has to give, but it's not our walk with God, because he's the one that made us, and that's our first relationship. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dr. Wendell Evans at college, president emeritus, when I was there at Howells Anderson, he said this, make Christ the center of your life, and the circumference will take care of itself. And so never stop giving your best to each and every relationship, and don't quit. Victory is just around the corner. Bear the burden in your youth. The Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, do what we already know to do. Joseph was betrayed by the ones he loved and trusted. He faced the insecurity of not knowing what was coming next. He experienced the immense temptations that laid before him. There was less, as far as his mom and dad, there was no accountability to that regard. His metal was being tested. It was being seen what he was made out of. And you know what Joseph did? He said, you know what? I may not have somebody looking over my shoulder. He said, but there's a God in heaven, and God sees what's going on, and God's the one that gave me the dream in the first place. I'm just going to trust him. And there was a time, I'm sure, he thought, man, that dream is just, Lord, it's not that I don't trust you, but that dream is buried. That dream's dead. That dream's gone. And yet he kept trusting God. And Brother Allen, he talked about how Abraham, you know, the test of faith, when Abraham lifted up that knife to slay his son, and then God, you know, sent the angel and said, no, hold up. But God was testing. God was testing Joseph's mettle. And, you know, in our lives, the Bible says that we're not to think it strange, the fiery trial, those trials and testing. Think it not strange. No. God's just testing us. But it's necessary. And it was necessary in Joseph's life. It was necessary in David's life. It was necessary in Daniel's life. It was necessary in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. On and on and on. And it's necessary in our life. And God was going to use a man that would give him the glory. And sure enough, when Pharaoh called him, you know what Joseph did? He said, it's not me. He said, but there is a God in heaven. And he said, that God knows. And he gave all the glory, deflected it straight to the Lord. God was going to use a man to endure hardship, to go through suffering. Suffering helps us stay humble, realizing that we are dependent on God. God was going to use a man to be a blessing to a lot of people. There always needs to feel. And then lastly, so I said number one, I said buy into the vision. Number two, commit to the process. And I'll finish with the third and last. Be humble, grateful, and generous when the glory comes. Be humble, grateful, and generous when the glory comes. If you would, look over at Genesis chapter 45, and let's look at verses 7 and 8. Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8. And this is Joseph as he responds to his brothers. And he says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but who? But God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And now if you drop down, I love this, in verse number 27, and they told him, they're talking now, his boys go down, they talk to Jacob. It says, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And then if you go to Genesis chapter 50, in verses 20 through 22, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And look at this. And Joseph lived 110 years. You know that God's able to make all things work together for good. And it doesn't matter if you're going through hardships, trials, testing, those things. If that's your lot, don't run from it. Don't take away. Don't run from God. No, run to God and go through that. And God's got some special things in mind for you. He's got a vision for you. He's got a dream for you, just like he did for Joseph. A glimpse of the glory. Father, we sure love you, and thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word is